skulls. I stumbled and like.
What the Lord challenged me with is
I knocked
kind of
this little
the
girl down by accident.
And by
well,
that,
her older
I mean,
brother.
Let's just go with.
This is the closest
the
I got to being in a fight.
Understood.
I didn't really see it coming. And he came right behind me and said, "Don't you do
bop.
That to my sister?" And he.
Okay, so I'm not going to spend a whole message right laying that out. If you'd like to have a separate conversation,
I don't. Does that count as a fight?
And.
No,
I don't know if I'm
no. Anyway, that's
a, okay. I will meet with you.
That's about the closest I ever
I would love to show you that
I ever was
father.
Into the fight. I just don't.
But let's just
have
start
it in
with
me
this
kind
understood.
Of thing to like
he
fight.
Is a good.
Let's
father.
Say if I told another story that there's a good friend
and
of mine.
If I flip the script,
that's a
the question
fellow
then
pastor.
Becomes, are you
and,
a
some
good
of you
kid?
Know him, and him and I were serving on. A curate.
Okay, so part of
together.
Father's Day is right. We all think
and
of how
was,
am I going to bless and
few,
honor my father on this day.
Say 8, 9
and
years
so,
ago that we
as
were
we
on
think
this,
about our heavenly father, who
weekend,
is
Brian,
the perfect
fact,
father, and I get it.
Well,
we can start talking in human
the,
relationships.
The
not
itself,
of all of us.
Emmaus
none of us
that.
Have had a perfect father because they were all.
But you were just sitting at the table, so you didn't know any of this stuff.
But
there was some spiritual dynamics going on where it really seemed like the enemy was trying to get in and mess with.
And he is perfect
with some
in all
people,
of his ways.
And
everything
my,
that
my
we
pastor
proclaimed
friend of mine
as we
was getting all worked
we
up.
We can trust his love and trust his care
and
for
like,
us.
And so he says this. He's like, if the devil was here right now, I would just kick his butt.
Now, let me qualify, because I know in our
and I wasn't even trying to be funny.
Our world
I
today, you
it.
Can't
like,
you can't label
you know,
children
I think if
good
the devil
and bad.
Was here,
that's
I would
not
tell that Jesus
allowed,
him.
Okay? There's not such thing as bad
now,
children.
I don't know if that's a little too extreme. I'm the lover
right?
versus
so
the
I'm
fighter
the
to
game.
Believe
but
that
when
and
it
have
comes
compassion
to judging
for the enemy
ourselves,
who's so lost and in
which
darkness.
Which is what we're doing.
Maybe there's still a
I'm
chance
okay with
if he would just know.
Question is, are you
that's probably a little too extreme, but you know what I mean? I just don't have it in me to do that.
Such thing as a
now,
good kid.
Now, that being said, I have talked to a lot of you.
I mean, he still loves you, right?
And most of you are not like me.
But we can be bad at being his child.
I talk to you guys, okay. And you're like, if somebody comes on my
so
property, they're gone. You know. Okay, see, I don't have that in me. I just don't
we're
have
at
that in me, all right?
And an overall characteristic.
And I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Let me start with Romans chapter 8.
But ultimately, I want to talk about...
father and children kind of stuff.
Put your
like,
sword away. So we're
going
to take you to the moment when Jesus
Bible,
was arrested.
Romans
so let's just go to the passage
that
here. The moment Jesus was arrested
by the Spirit
in Matthew 26 and actually all four of the Gospels.
We're the children
like,
of God.
And I'm going to make reference to some of the other Gospels.
Makes you a slave
ones. Like,
again
this
to
is
fear,
one of the particular instances.
The
you have to read all
sonship.
Four Gospels to really get
and
the whole picture.
By him we cry.
One of the Gospels tells you who it is that has the sword. Another one tells you the name of the guy who gets his ear cut off in the middle of the... You know what I mean? So you need all of the Gospels. I'm going to just read
children.
The Matthew portion, and we'll go from there.
I told you, I got it right from the Bible.
This follows.
We
are
God's children. Now, if we are
His
children,
right when Jesus
then we
was praying,
are heirs
you know,
and heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ.
Drops of blood, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Take this cup away from me if you can. And he's asked his disciples to pray, and they fell asleep three times on him, and he's just said,
but we are His
I just wanted you to
children.
Pray for a little bit, and you couldn't just pray
we
for
are His
one
children.
Hour.
So with that,
and he says, all right, get up.
What kind of child are you?
They're coming. That was the very, that's verse 46, basically. The time is now.
And
the disciples are like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of
the
12 arrived with him, was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people.
Do it however I want.
Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with him. The one
I
kiss
my own relationship
is the man. Arrest him.
Like how many
going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him.
Like you knew
Jesus
how,
replied,
you know,
friend,
you know,
do
you
what
knew
you
what
came
his triggers
for.
Were.
Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
Like
with that,
like my dad
one
was a great
Jesus,
dad, but he had
Jesus's
a few things
companions
that would set him
reached
off,
for his sword, drew it out, and struck
and,
the servant of the high priest,
that.
Cutting
and,
off
and
his
like,
ear.
Do we know what our father
put your sword back in its place,
father.
Jesus said to him.
And so,
for all
I
who
got three
draw
words
the
start
sword
with
will
H,
die
I'll
by the sword.
Do
you think I cannot call on my father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen
this
way?
One is honor.
And at that time, Jesus said to
the
crowd,
second one
am I
is
leading
honesty?
A rebellion that you come at me with swords
and
clubs
third
to
one
capture
is help.
Me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching
help.
And you did not
okay.
arrest me. But this
okay,
all
so
has
honor,
taken place
help. Like, I
that
think
the writings of the prophets
good
might
areas
be fulfilled. Then all the
what
disciples
it means to be a
deserted
good
him
of the
and fled.
King of glory, if you will. That last statement Father kind of hangs with you.
So honor.
They're out
we
there.
Know it's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20,
so
right?
Jesus saying, put your sword away.
So I want to. Commandments. I think
I got three points, but I'm going to spend
12.
The most on
honor your
on
father
the
and
one.
Your mother. So
but
that you
there
may
are
live
three
long.
People, right?
That's almost comical.
There's three
right?
people in this story. So we're going to talk about Judas's kiss.
So that you may live long.
Peter's sword.
That your Lord your God
and Jesus's trust.
Remember when it was a. Before it
and
was
obviously, that's why I want to spend the most time with the third one, because that's where we should land.
To your children.
But Judas's kiss.
I brought you into this world.
Peter's
I can
sword.
Take you out.
I can't do that now.
Trust.
I get it. But you used
and
to
maybe
be able
this
to
will reveal some things about ourselves. How are
children.
We fighting our battles? How are we going through our difficulties?
Honor. So what is honor? So for me, I think there's three areas that represent honor. Honor
is probably the where I'm going to spend
the biggest time. Let me throw in Zechariah 4:6 and
kind
of reference this as a main idea, if you will.
One, I think
you've heard this one before in the midst of.
So one of those
overwhelming
tasks
that was ahead
of
them in rebuilding Jerusalem. And so
if
he said to me,
talk
this
thing,
is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might,
I didn't get away
nor
with
by power,
attitude.
But by
Nikki
my
did,
spirit,
the youngest, but I didn't
Lord
get
Almighty.
Away.
And so
I
our,
didn't
our
get
power,
away
that's what the sword represents.
Disrespect.
So when I say the title
we're
of this is
back,
put away your sword, is you can't do it in your strength, and your ability, and your way.
Honor is recognizing
that's what the sword represents.
Their authority.
But rather,
the respect
we must trust.
And the honor that is
I like that because it rhymes. We must trust. I have like a bunch of taglines. I couldn't decide which one I like, so I'm just giving them all to you.
Back, right?
We must trust.
Anybody ever?
And there's always going to be a fundamental debate and war within you. Is it going to be your way or Yahweh?
Sometimes you got to look at the opposite side of things.
A bunch of taglines. You're just getting them all at once. Your way or Yahweh? And really, that's where we're going to end: is trusting in the name of the Lord, Yahweh being the name of God. That has been given to us, okay? And so that's where we're going. So first of all, let's talk about Judas's kiss. I'm going to spend the least amount of time on this one, but you'll remember Judas was one of the 12 disciples. He was in charge of the money.
Like
we get a couple glimpses
of
Judas, kind of questioning.
I just wonder in our relationship with
God, what does that look like? The way Jesus and the disciples spent the money or and even taking some out of the money bag for himself. So kind of got, that being said, we paint him as this awful guy, but he was one of the 12. Like he was there, he saw miracles. He participated in miracles. He heard Jesus preach over and over again.
This one was Sarah.
That's a big deal. And then, of course, Last Supper, which occurred just this very same night, it's where Jesus said, dipping in the cup with me is the one that's going to betray me.
He passed two little churches in each of those towns.
Jesus had washed his feet. He had been there. And so Judas had gone to the
high priest and the
council there.
Sarah was about
he had made a deal with them for 30 pieces of silver.
Let's pretend
that I will show you where Jesus is, where he's going to be, so that you can arrest him in the middle of the night. They wanted to do it quietly.
You know, you're
kind of
doing everything
on that.
My mom,
you could have got me any time in the temple, but
piano,
you waited till I'm all alone.
Like
and
offertory.
You know,
anyway,
and
it was an
that's the closest
and it
Jesus
must have
got
been
to defending himself, if you
like
will.
When I first saw Star Wars.
So Judas's kiss. Let me just say this.
You know,
I think
it was a big deal. But
most of the time,
somehow,
we're not Judas.
Sarah and I ended up
we're more Peter
the,
than we are Judas.
On the,
but
on the
let's just look at a couple things.
The church,
I think,
because it had steps that were
and there have been others that would confirm this
little church.
So there's probably one of two reasons
we
or a combo of why Judas betrayed
Jesus. In the back of the church. And my dad saw that from the
now,
front.
Now, the easy one, first one, I think the easy one is just flat out greed and selfishness.
Punished both of us. And
then got right back
up
there and started preaching. And the temptation of having access to the money. The money that was being offered,
when you
buy into Jesus' ministry, and he saw it for selfish
I tell people
gain.
This for parenting
and that's really easy to say. That's
nice,
wrong.
I just said, just know when they turn 12, they get
right?
dumb.
That's really easy to say. Like, you should not
and
do
I
that.
I mean that with
all
I think
of
one
the
of like,
teams,
there's an awkward phase, isn't there? Like,
in the
like
last
where
weeks,
critical
we've been
thinking
talking about obedience,
tends to go away, and they're dealing with all those.
Like, I just said, that's wrong. So what Judas did represents sin.
So let's put me around 12 years old.
Best definitions I've heard of sin
and maybe
it falls short
honoring your father, and this is going to seem a little dishonoring
as a global definition that applies to everything
because I'm
going to
let
kind
out a
of thing
secret
but sin can be defined as
okay
not trusting
so he used
God's
to fall
way.
Asleep in church and
trying to meet your needs by
and,
your
and
own
he
means
would do the whole you know I'm praying
I mean we see Adam and Eve,
you know
rather than trusting what
that
God
would, that
had
would be his answer
for
so
them, 12,
and God's boundaries and provision, the doubt was cast that you're missing out.
I even saw a little whiplash go in as
and they sought
the preacher
to fulfill their needs apart
like
from
completely
God.
Out, like, you know, his head was back. And so I did the thing where
I like that definition. When you look at all of the different areas of sin, you look at like the Ten Commandments, you know, why do we lie so we can get out of trouble? Why do we steal because we think we need and we want?
But my mom really...
you know, sexual sin and commit adultery.
Really big lecture.
God's way of fulfilling
that I deserve
our needs. And so I like that definition. And so here is Judas caught up in the material, caught up in the world, caught up in money and selfishness and greed. And it's a very empty journey.
And I get that we need to have
like fast forward to the end of Judas's life.
To our relationship with him.
Sorrow and regret that overcomes him to the place where he takes his own life.
He's the king of glory.
He got the money. He walks back in and throws the money back at them.
The whole Proverbs
what he thought was what he wanted and needed did not fulfill and satisfy. So there's the first reason.
And I'm not
okay, so most of us don't live there unless you're like just... if you're in a little rebellion phase, maybe there's a little bit of in you in that. But I want to take you to like the second theory.
So under honor is this idea of respect. Of course, what follows
Judas
is obedience.
Was trying to force the hand
honoring,
of Jesus.
Like, so the reflection of this verse that we
so
read
Judas
in
bought
Paul's
in
teaching,
to the
in
instead
Ephesians
of understanding
says,
the children
of God
obey your
and parents
the forgiveness
the
of
Lord,
sins,
for
he bought into
right.
this idea that Jesus was supposed to be
the
Messiah that was going to deliver them from the Roman occupying
and so that
government.
Is Paul actually connecting that command.
I mean, that,
to children
part
obeying
of that's what was going on at the triumphant entry. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, it's going down.
Is living in obedience.
Here comes the one who came to save us. And in their minds, that was all
that's
political
the
and physical. They didn't understand
him,
the kingdom of God the way it is, a kingdom
Day
of heart and lives. And so there's a theory out there that Judas did this to force
the
hand of Jesus.
That, honor him
that if we get him arrested, if this comes to a head, then Jesus can step up and he can be that Messiah that I believe in and that I want. And I don't know. So we don't have enough in Scripture to say whether it's
maybe related to the idea of respect.
Could I caution us as much as maybe we're not the greed, selfish ones?
Is the idea
of we often are guilty of trying to force the hand of God.
So have any of you
ever
been
careful with that? Remember Jesus
and
the temptation with the enemy? The second one.
Remember being a little kid and
the devil says, throw yourself down here. Doesn't the word say that God will give his angels charge over you and you will not dash your foot against the rock?
Three young kids to the
grocery
store.
And what did Jesus come back with? He said, for it is written,
all of us
thou shalt not test
the
Lord your God.
Kind of a circus.
I'm asking for some level of balance here. I get that when we pray,
I don't know.
We like to pray specifically. We ask not.
My dad was usually
pretty
consistent.
Sometimes we have to caution the way we pray, because sometimes the way we pray is, God, this is what you need to do.
You had to still judge his mood, like what.
And sometimes I don't
think
those prayers represent
true
trust.
I'm always trying to get away with whatever I can get away with.
Those prayers are meant to force the hand of God, saying, this is what I want to happen and how I want it to happen and when I want it to happen.
So we were doing the things like we were.
Then we call it faith.
We're treating the shopping cart like
to me,
a jungle
the words
gym.
Faith and trust
like,
are interchangeable,
I think
every prayer that we pray,
on the bottom and,
like Jesus,
and Liz was sitting in the
says,
basket,
you know what? Not what I want, what you want.
Be sitting in the basket,
not my will, but
anyway,
your will be done.
We were treating the thing like a jungle gym, and we were just kind of all over the place.
Whatever God wills is to have a lack of faith. No, I think that's a statement of trust.
In his stern look, and he could.
And we got to be careful that we are not manipulative and forceful in the way that we approach God.
I don't know if this was
because it didn't work out very well for Judas. He misunderstood
the
plan of God. God's ways are higher than our ways. And part of this message even came out of
hilarious.
In the Bible engagement. We did the whole Jacob and Esau. I think this passage was actually in there. And I just got
talk
about
that one
a
little later when we got home. Kind of
the passage out of Psalms that says, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts.
And sometimes we can say,
the story of Jacob and Esau, that Jacob and his mom
parents are just worried about their
Isaac to get the blessing, which had already been prophesied. And it created trouble in their family. And what if they would have just trusted God? And
what
unfortunately, we have embarrassed
that.
And I just wonder, what kind of trouble do we make for ourselves that we don't trust him completely and fully? So there's Judas's kiss. I hope that's not any of us, but let that be a challenge to you. But let's talk about Peter's sword.
I wonder if sometimes he's not just looking at
us. So John 18:11. Let's look at. So John 18:11 is the. In John, it's where we find out it's Peter. It's in John we find out the name of the guy who gets his ear cut off is Malchus. But here's the way Jesus says it. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away."
Your kids are a reflection of you.
Just in case you're wondering where I got it.
Always joke, right? Your kids are.
Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?
So it ought to be a good thing that we reflect our Heavenly Father, that we are like Him.
But let's talk about Peter's sword. So,
because we know Him.
As much as I'm not a fighter, when I was a kid, like every other kid, I thought swords were cool, right? My dad introduced me to Robin Hood, you know, Errol Flynn, and we watched the old Three Musketeer movies, and I read the books, and of course, one of my favorite movies is Princess Bride. But let's move on from honor, you know, and
honesty. One of those triggers
of my dad
was
he did not like
anybody lying to him.
Can I tell you? Get used to disappointment. Anyway.
Mickey, did you ever lie to Dad? How'd that go for you?
Sorry, I'm playing the movie in my head.
Not well. Okay.
Anyway, so yes, every stick that I saw as a kid was a sword.
I told you he was so much younger than sword fighting.
We joked about two families,
Star Wars,
him and Ed, were kind of
swords, even better.
The kind of thing.
There was three of us.
And yet, in those movies, it was all.
I think he was consistent
sword
in that one.
He hated it when I was young.
But the sword was the most modern weapon of that day. The most deadly weapon of that day.
It was about honesty.
Like, I remember
if you
a story,
modernize it and you start putting guns in there, well, that gets really weird, doesn't it?
I don't know what I maybe 5 years.
What if we heard it? Jesus saying, put your gun away.
At the table and,
oh, no, don't touch my gun.
I don't know if I got it on my own accord or what, but I had a pair of scissors.
I'm in trouble now. I brought that one up, you know.
For whatever reason, there was a cloth, tablecloth, and I just out of fun, I thought.
And the truth is, you know, I've never owned a sword,
and
I don't own a gun. I'm all about gun rights
and
freedom
and
tablecloths, but I did, okay? So I cut the tablecloth.
I don't have the heart in me to shoot somebody.
My mother discovered it, and then came the Inquisition, the question, who cut the tablecloth?
So guns aren't really good for me.
Who cut the tablecloth?
I don't know. You know, human nature comes out of children.
It was the weapon of that day.
Whether you know it or not.
And once again, I want you to see this in terms of the way that we fight our battles. Are you going to do it in your strength, what you have, in your ability, or are you going to trust
Jacob and Esau was the idea of a lie that just keeps
you have to keep lying.
And so this idea that Peter has a sword, we like that about Peter.
A lot of you are Peter.
Then it turned into like interrogation.
Do you remember the discussion when there was Jesus saying, one of you is going to betray me, Peter? Gets real vocal, right? I would never do that, Jesus.
I didn't do it.
I would never do that.
Of course, my sisters didn't do it, and so they're like,
to me, the sword represents
me. I think Dad knew all along exactly who did it, but he was going to make me say it. So it felt like 2 hours.
I feel bad
it really
saying it the other way. This idea that we would embrace suffering, but trusting God's plan. Like, what if?
A season of suffering is part of God's plan.
I'm going to tell you why I confess.
I know.
And it's because I misheard.
You're going to
because at that point,
I didn't
want to get in
like
trouble.
That.
Like, we're all going down kind of
thing. I kind of feel like it was
you know, I'm going to die
like
on this mountain.
Did you read the words of Jesus? He
was saying it's got to happen this way.
So
now, it ended with
the
resurrection.
It
ended in ultimate victory. But there was a season that was really hard for Jesus to walk through.
If you tell me in the next 5
And there's a
minutes,
Peter who heard Jesus talking. We sometimes think the disciples didn't really get it.
Relief from that.
Like they're falling asleep.
Like,
but Peter heard enough of an ominous tone inside of Jesus that knew that something was going down.
But that's not what he said. He said,
and to Peter, the way that he responded is he strapped on a sword.
But really, to this day, I heard him wrong.
And remember Peter rising up, like it gives new kind of mental definition to Peter saying, no way, Jesus, I'd never do that for you. I'd die
but
for you.
Of course, I heard wrong, and they didn't deserve his making. I did.
I almost picture him pulling out the sword right then. Bring it on.
But, you know, what does honesty
and in Peter's
like?
Mind, that's the only thing that made sense to him. If they're
games,
coming for you, they got to go through me.
So fast forward.
And it makes you wonder that this happens between Jesus's or between Jesus challenging Peter and Peter saying,
all of a sudden, you know,
I would die for you. And I love that Jesus turns and looks at him and says, would you really die for me?
About.
You know, he challenges
one way in front of
them,
and he follows that up.
And then they get with
what,
their friends.
You're going to deny me three times before
and they behave another way.
And sometimes it gets as bad as, you know, sneaking
would
out the
you
window
really
at
die
night
for
and
me?
Covering up your tracks.
And it's interesting that this
and
sword
fill
thing,
in all of the blanks, and I just wonder
Peter,
how many times
the moment they
we
come
do
to arrest,
God,
pulling out the sword.
We know how to show up at church. We know how to worship the Lord.
Jesus
we know how to say
them,
the right things. We know how to play the game. But then Because if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. This avoiding of suffering.
We somehow
it's interesting that this happens in between this great pledge from Peter and then Peter denying him.
Yeah?
Like, perhaps Peter
was disappointed.
God
knows absolutely everything.
And yet we play this game and we make
this is not the way that I, when I said I would die for you, that meant I was going to protect you and I was going to defend you. And this isn't the way that it should happen. And we see Peter disillusioned. All the rest of the disciples desert him and scatter.
We behave another way.
And Peter stands off at a distance, warming his hands at a fire, watching the trial of his best friend.
Say, you know what?
And it's there that he denies him.
And sometimes that might
because he doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. And the sword represents.
I'm telling you what, that punishment would have went a lot better.
Doing it the way we think it should go.
I don't even think I would have gotten a spanking.
Rather than trusting his plan.
I was cutting on the paper.
And I just wondered if that even informed the
denial. I don't even think I would have been in trouble.
That when Jesus told him to put the sword away.
Hey, be careful, you know, don't play with
him.
You shouldn't be using the scissors unless you were around or whatever. But
I'm trying to help you out, and you put his ear back on.
But I chose to lie, and I chose to hide. I chose to be deceptive. And I just wonder how many times we do that with our Father in heaven.
Sword.
And I think the other side of honesty is that we would be
sword away, but he issues the warning
with ourselves.
Because if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword.
I mean, no, you could fool yourself.
And I would just say that. I think that's a spiritual principle. That if you're committed to
be not deceived,
fight in your strength, you're going to fail in your strength.
My paraphrase interpretation is, you can't fool God.
Should I say that again? That was good enough to say again?
You can't fool God. What do you
think? If you are committed to fight in your strength,
on him.
You're going to fail
I'll tell
in
you
your
what,
strength.
We often deceive ourselves. Here's what
but there's something
Romans when we
12:3 says.
Away.
Say, you know what? It's not by might.
I'm just kind of talking.
It's not by power.
Here's what Romans 12:3 says. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone,
your power
do not
in my life.
Think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather
I'm praying
think
the Holy
of yourself
you make some
with
connections
sober
in
judgment
your life. Maybe
in accordance
you've
been trying
to
with
do some things in your own strength.
God has given you. Like, be honest.
Not only does it come with that warning, but then
be okay admitting your weaknesses and your faults.
Is this challenge of
I love that about the
Psalms. We got this tension of justice versus mercy.
You know what? If you're really hurting right now and you're really confused,
justice versus mercy.
You know what?
Read the Psalms.
We have Peter. Because it sounds pretty whiny most of the time.
Is every bit right in a sense.
But at least it's honest.
Jesus doesn't deserve this. Therefore, I stand for justice.
That we go down a road.
You can't touch him. He's not guilty.
Bring us to being. I
had one pastor tell me, "It's like
you can label everybody
on the justice side or the mercy
side, saying one thing and doing another."
And I have a question at the end, jumping in the conclusion. Like, but it's,
like,
as you look at your own heart and life,
all the people who didn't show up
are you a ear chopper offer or an ear putter honor?
Yet we have those tendencies within ourselves that we make.
Like, I think that's a really good question. Are you an ear chopper offer?
It is worth.
Or are you an ear putter honor?
Look at ourselves.
And then I would dare challenge you. Jesus was an ear putter honor.
You see me. Psalmist prays in Psalm 1.
He was an ear putter honor.
God, and see if there be any offensive way.
Even though this is the guy who was arresting him, that would lead to his death.
Honest with ourselves.
Jesus
with God.
Ministered to
him. So far, we got honor
out of his mercy.
This is how to be a good kid.
And I've talked to a lot of you.
Works in
you
the natural realm too.
So
if you're a kid here today listening, your parents would appreciate you following this if you would honor them. Right? Respect, obedience, reflecting well.
And God only knows our hearts. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't. Defend yourself and your property. I'm not saying those things, but I'm telling
you,
where do we go?
And then the third one is help.
When
help.
Life is wrong. People are wrong.
That really pleases a parent when,
like, if we instantly go to judgment and think we're somehow the instrument of justice,
and
that's a very dangerous place to be. And I think there's a Jesus telling you, put your sword away.
How many of you parents have been at war with your kids about doing the
instrument of justice, if you
will? It's the same old story, okay? Every household goes through
the
same phase.
And
parents, we sit on this side of, hey, I'm trying to install character in you and a work ethic. And this is part of being a human and being a part of a family and a community that you're going to contribute.
Jesus is trust.
We do it because we know that's what's best
Jesus
for them.
Jesus is trust.
And we're proud when they get it right. Isn't it really great when they
first
just
of all
do
that,
it without
the whole
fight, right?
statement that Jesus makes, what he... So Jesus,
yeah.
in this
that's
moment,
really
as much
deal.
As he had settled it in the garden...
It doesn't have to be a fight. Like, you
Father,
do
you know, he didn't want to die.
And I just
you know, take
how,
this cup away if you can, if there's any other way.
Pretty,
greedy
I'm open to suggestions.
As American,
but he concludes, "What, Father, not my will, but Your will be done." And here comes the test immediately after that prayer.
What can I get?
They send him.
And I don't know if you really read like
and
Jesus,
then Peter's there with the sword, and he has a choice to make. How am I going
to
handle this?
To serve Him.
And he says to Peter, "Put your sword away." And he follows it up with this statement. Don't
know
you
know
think that I could just ask the Father
would,
to send down 12 legions of angels
right now? I only do
what
the
Father
now.
Tells me to do, and I only say.
And the
answer to that question is,
say, that's the example set before us.
Jesus with a word could wipe them out. Joint heirs. Your brother did it right.
And yet
his name was Jesus, and he showed us. I do what the Father says, and I say what the Father says.
This way.
And it was Jesus himself showing us
we serving
that he was putting his sword away. He wasn't going to do it in his strength and his ability and according to what he wanted. He was going to trust God's plan and God's path, even though that path was really hard.
I like it. He's given
us a
multiple
choice here. He's just laying it out, and he's going to leave us with the question
here. So
Jesus, all right, what do you think?
There was a man
that
who had
looks
two
like
sons.
To put your sword away.
He went to the and first and said, "Son, go
God's
and work
plan.
Today in the vineyard." And the son said, "I will not," he
I'm
answered.
Go to this idea, the,
later
the
he changed
of
his
the
mind
Lord.
And he went.
The name of the Lord.
Then the father said to the other
trusting
son the same
God.
Thing. Go work in the vineyard.
The name
he
of
answered,
the Lord.
I will, sir.
Our Father
but he did not
who
go.
Art in heaven, hallowed be
which of the two
your
did what
name.
His father wanted?
Thou shalt
There's
not
the
take the name of the Lord our God
which one did
in vain.
What the Father wanted.
No
the
other name has been given under heaven
Jesus
by which
said,
we are saved.
The truth, the
he is the name that is above every name
of God ahead of you.
All right, so the
now,
name
this
is not
a dig
just about
on the Pharisees
letters.
Who are saying, "Hey, we're
now,
all
I'll
about
give you a little
your
history
and we're going to serve you."
If you ever read in your Bible in the Old Testament and you see "Lord" in all capitals, okay?
That
is the name of
God.
In case you're wondering, so when it says "Lord" there, that is the what they call the covenant name of God. And the Hebrew culture so reverenced the name of God that they feared to ever utter the name of God.
And even after you saw this.
Which is interesting because in the Hebrew language there are no vowels, there are only consonants.
Two sons.
And so somewhere
that did what
like they've lost the translation of what the actual name of God is.
It's an easy answer.
And there was some like kind
of
combining. So
is,
when
we?
You were, most of you were growing up, it was Jehovah.
A lot of Christians
and
say,
then,
"Yes, sir, I will."
That was kind of putting like Greek vowels into the Hebrew word.
Really quick
and
in our hearts
nothing
say, oh, yeah,
wrong
God,
with that,
God,
or Jehovah if you want to say it like it's Hebrew kind.
We
can
say
kind of
it.
Thing. And then,
but the question is, who's actually doing it?
Like the more recently in the last 20 years, they've kind of
it?
Favored the Yahweh as being
Are
the,
you
the
serving the Father's heart.
But they so reverenced the name of God. Like even when they were recording the scriptures, there were like special things in place when you had to write the name
like
of God down because there was such a fear and
you
awe
live like he has
of the name
has
of God.
Shown
now I think
us.
You could go too far
That's
and legalistic with the idea of
That's
that,
how
but
you be a good
I think
kid.
We lose the wonder of knowing who he is. Like that shouldn't be about the letters and the pronunciation. That ought to be about who he is. This idea of taking the name of the Lord God in vain is not just because we say, you know, GD or GC and those kind of things. And I think that's part of it, but it's
the
idea of
defiling
and not representing who God is.
Honor
is a greater application of that. We've been given the name. No other name under heaven which has been given to men. By which
honesty,
we can be saved. We've
honesty with God and honesty with ourselves.
And in particular, the given to us in Jesus.
Serving and doing.
The name above
what the
all
Father
names.
Would ask and what the Father
and
wants.
So we have this name of the Lord.
I think that's a pretty good idea of how to be
And
a
so
good
how
kid.
Do we trust in the name of the Lord?
Let me close.
Let me help
with,
you fill in a little bit what the name
Jesus
of the Lord is. So here's a mini message
really
within
kids,
the message,
right?
If you will. So there's.
So I'm going to go to that
first
story.
First of all,
right
I was. And
so
these are all
new
ones.
I'm just singling
like,
out the
you
one
need
verse.
All
I
of them.
I didn't put the whole story.
But I think if I, by separating them and helps us a little bit, I would say the name of the Lord. So once again, name is not letters or pronunciation. Name,
and then
for lack of a better way to explain it,
is
the idea of a reputation. Like if you have a good name, you have a good reputation,
kind of
right?
His
and it's like who you. So like so here's three areas
kids.
I think that
what
represent
is it you
the
like
name.
So much about kids. They get their snot nose.
One
they don't matter,
is
he says this.
Who he
I tell
is.
You the truth. This is Luke 18:17. I tell you the truth. Anyone. Who
and I think for an example
of
that, I take you to the burning
like
bush.
A little child
so that's where the covenant name of God, the Yahweh or the Jehovah was first revealed,
like
was there at the
faith
burning
like
bush. And you remember Moses had asked the question, because Moses had all kinds
word,
of excuses
like
why
trust.
He didn't want to go.
I think one of the best ways.
And he says, well, what if they question? Who do I tell them sent me? And it's there through the burning bush that God says,
He is.
I am
who
I
am.
That's how you can be a good kid.
Yahweh.
Like there's been so many who've used the illustration, this idea of
faith. Scholars have tried to figure out.
This is how we come into the kingdom of God. We don't come in with our heads. We don't come in with our understanding. We come in with a simple trust.
Attached it to the idea of the God who saves.
Of who he is.
You know, the God who rescues. But when you look at it in that context, and I get it, that fits. And in fact, next week as we get the 4th of July, I'm going to talk about the rescue of God and the parting of the Red Sea. And we're going to just kind of go to that moment and look at freedom, spiritual freedom, if you will.
Catch me. Ever been there?
But
the edge of the pool or whatever.
I think the best definition I heard is it was like,
you know, when they were two or three.
God saying the best definition is this idea that the self-existent one.
But then, you know, they got
like it's almost. Now this is going to sound like I'm,
and I think so often dishonoring
the name of God, but for lack of a better phrase, it's almost like God's mic drop moment. That's the thing you say, like when you say something really big and nothing more needs to be said, you drop the mic kind of thing. I'm not going to drop the microphone because it's really expensive and probably break. But I would like to do it for a visual aid. I should have brought a fake microphone and then I could have done. But it's like God saying, "I'm God." Boom.
All right.
You need know nothing else. But I'm God. That's who sent you. And you know, that's enough. If you know who I am, then there are no more questions. And that's part of as we trust in the name of the Lord, we know who he is.
I'm not even and
he also says to Moses in that same conversation, I'm the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And he points to his credit history, if you will. I've been faithful. I'm going to be faithful. I was there for them. I'm going to be there for you.
The very same relationship.
And he says, I am who I am.
Only do what you tell me to do.
So we sing that. If God is for us, and it comes right out of Romans, who can be against us? If I am is on my side, if I am is in my life, if I am is for me and acting on my behalf
with him today, just know that he loves you.
Who's going to
so love the world that he gave his son, he died for our sins.
If he's got a plan, who am I to question that?
We began,
who am I to do apart from what he wants?
Enemies of God separated
from
him,
his presence, that he's with us,
the children of God.
I got three P words that go with my questions. Who he is,
receiving a spirit of presence.
Number two is what he does. His power.
Oh, Father, Dad.
The name of God, his reputation is not just who he is, but what he does. And once again, I told you, as much as I'm separating, they're inseparable. Who he is found in what he does. But God is all powerful. The creator of the universe is the one that is with us and the one that is for us.
And by that, I'm just saying, how many of you would just lift a finger and
want
to be a better kid?
For a story on that one, I'll take you to.
I want to be a better kid. And I hope you've heard some things today.
I guess you have to read them on your own. I'm just telling the story. But in Acts chapter 3,
I want to be honest.
The name of the Lord. Remember, Peter and John were going
to you. And Lord, we do.
I get stuck in the song.
Somebody here that's just praying this maybe.
Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He held out his palm and he asked for an alms. That's money. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee.
Lord, as your child, we have said today,
name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping, praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I love
you. And about
application
myself.
Of that is
Lord,
what
I don't
we
want
have.
There to be any deception or divide.
Is his name, his power.
Between who I am.
Peter said,
in my house
he reached in his pocket. I don't know if he reached in his pocket or not, but I think I preached the message. What's
Lord,
in your pocket?
Help me.
You know, the old commercial, what's in your wallet? And we think what we need is money, and we think what we need is earthly ability, and we think what we need is resources. But what we need is the power of God.
You have loved and help me serve.
That's what we have is the power of God. And so often we're thinking we're poor and we're identifying what we don't have. But do you know what you do have?
And fully with abandon. He said, you know what? That's not what you need. I give you something better. I give you who he is and what he does.
Believe that you will do everything that you have promised.
And 5,000
we can trust all of your ways, even when I don't understand or it doesn't make sense.
God and what he does.
You are perfect in all of your ways, and I trust you, Father.
Who he is, his presence,
Lord, we say
what he does, his power.
Lord, let us honor you.
And then third is what he wants.
Be children.
His purpose.
Who make you smile.
What he wants to trust in the name of the Lord is to trust his purpose, his plans, his promises. And here's Jesus. Jesus' trust. I trust my Father. It has to happen this way. This is the cup that he has given me. This is what I choose. Not my way, but his way. And it's his way. To tell another story, it probably falls under the power category. But I'll put it under here. On the what he wants. And we look at, you know, sometimes we have an enemy in our lives that overwhelms us. And I think a good example of the story there, I could sing another song for you, but would be David and Goliath, right? So Goliath steps out there and defies all of Israel, right? And David comes just visiting, giving food to his brothers, hears it and says, that shouldn't be. And he said, I'll do it. And he's there before King Saul. And I just want you to take you to remind you, King Saul tried to give him his armor, the best sword in all of the land, the best the armor that could be. And he said it didn't fit. And he said, you know what? Just give me my sling. And he goes out there and Goliath laughs at him, mocks him. You send me out here to a little child. Am I a dog? And all of these things, and I'll just take you to one verse without telling the whole story, but hear this idea of put your sword away. We see that in David saying, I don't want your sword. I'm gonna do this the way that God has enabled me. Now, putting your sword away doesn't mean that God's not going to use things in your life. That doesn't mean he's not going to use your abilities. David was really good at the slingshot. He'd had lots of practice in the field. Hitting squirrels, I don't know, whatever it was he aimed at. He'd killed a lion and bear. God had been with him. He's going to give me the giant. But here's what he says to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. Now note, I mean, the Bible tells us just how big his sword and his javelin, like, they were massive. Like, these were the biggest weapons that were ever made, carried by the biggest man that they had ever seen. He says, you come at me with that, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. In the very next verse, I don't have it on the screen there for you, but he says, this day, God will deliver you into my hands. I'm going to cut your head off. He said, it's what God wants. That's what I meant. That's what's going to work here, is because God wants you out of the picture. God wants his enemies to be defeated and for his people to be victorious. And I stand with what God wants. And there's Jesus saying, this is my cup. That's what God wants, because it took a cross to purchase our victory. And if there would have been any my way, your way instead of Yahweh, then we wouldn't have salvation and we wouldn't have victory. It was the only way. And it's a great story and it has a great ending for Jesus and for you. In the name of the Lord. And so we got these options. We've got Judas's kiss, Peter's sword, or Jesus's trust. So in conclusion, and maybe the worship team come up. I said we'd sing another song. So worship team come up. That helps me do my conclusion faster instead of preaching multiple sermons in the conclusion. But one of my favorite verses, and I know I say that about a lot, but my more current favorite verse is in particular, even from the beginning of going through this whole COVID and shutting down of churches and all of that kind of stuff, it was in Psalms 20, verses 6 and 7. And I know I've shared this before, but let's hear it in the context of this message of put your sword away. Psalms 27 through 8 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. To me, that's like, you know, some trust technology and riches and ability and strength. To me, the chariots represented the state-of-the-art weaponry of the time that cost lots of money. It was a display of power. Horses represent strength and ability. And it's our way. It's our sword. It's the way that we fight. So some trust in that. But no, we trust in the name of the Lord. And look at the difference. Look at the results. Like, there's two choices. You're going to trust in that. You're going to trust in yourself. You're going to trust in the things of this world. How many know the Word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? They're not of this world. The fight we fight is not against flesh and blood. And there's two options that are given. It says they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. That's a pretty good way to judge how you've been fighting. Do you find yourself defeated? Or do you find yourself still standing as you entrust of Him? And so I have three questions, and then we're going to just respond in worship, if we can do that. And we're going to sing the song, Great I Am, that the name of a God, you know, and we declare in that bridge that nothing can stand against the power of His name. He is the Great I Am. And so my three questions, I like my questions, so I'm going to read these to you. This is like the altar call, if you will. Number one is this. Are you currently fighting a battle with the sword rather than trusting the name of the Lord? And I prefer when the Holy Spirit helps you out. But what could that look like? I think we probably run to doctors and medication way quicker than we should. And I'm not saying that God doesn't use those things, but the question is, where's your trust? Your trust ought to be first and foremost in the name of the Lord. And I think you can go to the doctor, and I think you can take medication, but it comes down to your heart. Where is your trust? Okay? So hear me right there. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying that we can trust those. Those can be chariots and horses in our life. Can be the same way when you talk about, you know, maybe in our mental health, we trust in counselors rather than we trust in the name of the Lord. Maybe in finances, we think we've got to take the into our own hands and we've got to work more hours and we've got to do this. And I'm not saying that God won't lead us down those paths. But the real question is, are you trusting in the name of the Lord? In our relationships, you ever try to fix a relationship in your own strength and ability? If there's ever a place where you see, but we are brought down and fall to our knees, I think that's one. It's amazing, you know, not to be cliche, but when you let go and let God, it's amazing how God works in those circumstances. Like those one, like that's the real messy stuff. We like the stuff we can control. But you add another person to it, it gets really tricky, right? So first question, are you currently fighting a battle with a sword rather than trusting the name of the Lord? Second question, I've already asked this one, but if you took an honest look at yourself, are you more of an ear chopper offer or an ear putter honor? I think only you can answer that. And just ask God to guide and direct your heart, you know? I want to be somebody that brings healing into this world. I don't want to draw the sword of justice. That's His. That's His. And I'm going to trust His final judgment. In the meantime, I'm going to act in mercy. I'm going to act in forgiveness. I'm going to act in kindness. And then the third question is maybe just this challenge that in order to trust the name, you need to know the name. In fact, can I ask it that way? Like if God were asking you right now, do you know my name? Do you know my name? Do you know who I am, my presence? Do you know what I can do, my power? Do you know what I want, my purpose? So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, let me re-ask those questions. And this is for your own acknowledgement. If you're here right now and you felt the Spirit speaking to you that right now you're trying to fight a battle with the sword rather than trusting in the name. Would you just raise your hand? Okay, we're going to pray for that. Next question. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, I need to help being an ear putter on her, would you raise your hand? All right. And then the third question. I hope this is all of us, but how many of you would say, I want to better know the name so I can live in the name? So Lord, right now I just pray for this response. Lord, I don't know the battles that are out there, but you do. And God, what we do choose to do now is to trust in your name beyond our ability and our power and what we want and our will and our way. Lord, we declare it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. And Lord, if that may be your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher and I don't understand and the uncertainty and this maybe even a season of suffering, Lord, help me, give me a grace so that I can trust you completely and fully. So Lord, I pray you would do that in every heart and every life. Lord, we pray that you would help mercy rule and reign in our lives, that we would, like Jesus, we would be ear putter honors. That who we are in our interactions, even when we encounter things that are not right and unfair, Lord, may we react with your grace and your mercy, your kindness. Lord, let our hands bring healing rather than hurt to this world. And Lord, I pray for every one of us, even as we respond in worship now. Lord, let us better know your name, who you are, who it is that is with us, your presence that has been promised to every one of us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, help us to know your name, to know what it is you do, your power. Lord, that we would offer the world, like Peter, the name of Jesus. Here's who my God is and who is what he can do. And Lord, help us to trust the name. Help us to trust what you want, your purpose, your plan, your promises. Lord, we trust in your name today. Would you stand and let's just worship together.